gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Now, we have a Hawaii 5-0 special for y'all today, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcasting live from the South Pacific, we are going to be connecting now to the Northern Pacific Island chained nation of Hawaii. And we have two very special guests. Firstly, Mr. Henry Noah, the Prime Minister of the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom. Henry, welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha. And also, we have Gary as well. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hello.
All right. If both of you could just introduce yourself, you know, to myself and also to the audience, and give us a wee bit of background about what you're all about. Gary, let's start with you.
Well, I'm the I've been a Hawaiian national for 12 years now under the government that Henry put back together, and he'll talk to you more about that. But I'm currently the island organizer for the Big Island. So I'm kind of the go-between the citizens and the office. I keep things trying to move smoothly and keep people's numbers and contact information intact and set up events, that kind of stuff.
So you're like a PR. So you're like the PR guy, except you're not evil.
Yeah, and I'm the one who actually has to contact the office or gets to contact the office when something comes up and people don't know what's going on, you know, so that we don't have a lot of people calling all the time. They kind of go through me.
All right, the gatekeeper. And also, we have Henry here as well. Henry Noah, welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Please introduce yourself and talk about the... go ahead.
I'd like to say thank you for having me on your radio talk show. I find it quite interesting that a radio station can be located in Texas, and we're talking to someone in New Zealand.
And we're also joined, sorry about this, folks. This is going to be a big kind of roundtable discussion. We're also joined by Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz. But if Henry, you can just continue on, please, and we'll get to them in a second.
Okay, well, I'm a Kanaka Maoli, Aboriginal of Hawaiian descent. And back in March 13, 1999, we decided to reinstate our former lawful Hawaiian government. And I believe we were successful in fulfilling a lot of our obligations under international law. And since then, we've just continued building our nation here in Hawaii. A little background on that. We had lost our sovereign powers, our sovereignty, back in 1893, January 17th. And since that time, we've been trying to reclaim our independent sovereign status. And I'm part of that process. We identify ourselves here in Hawaii as the reinstated lawful Hawaiian kingdom, lawful Hawaiian government. And over the past, I believe now going on almost 12 years, we have continually increased our citizen applications, our applicants, and we've also been able to establish some nationals here in our country as far as fulfilling one of the international law requirements. Our government exists on every island in our Hawaiian island chain. We have 8 major islands. Out of the 8 major islands, 6 of them are actually populated to the point where we have established our government, reestablished our government.
Okay. Well, let's continue on here. We also have Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz here. Are you guys back in Hawaii now, or are you still in L.A.?
No, we're still on the Madland. We're still here in California. We'll be returning to Hawaii next month, and probably in the second week of next month. How are you doing out there, Henry?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
Great. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know.
Too long.
I was wondering what happened to you guys.
Yeah, we're still plugging along. We're fighting CIA, FBI, COINTELPRO operations that are trying to shut us down. You know, they don't like Aloha too much.
Yeah, you know. That's what happens when you fight the forces of evil.
That's right. It's like Bo Bright said, the flak never gets heavy until you're over the target.
Absolutely. Now, how exactly, because I live in New Zealand, and in New Zealand we have an indigenous population of Māori who are also trying to proclaim their own sovereignty and set up their own separate government and re-establishing control of their local resources and what they call mana or pride, strength, themselves. And something tells me that the indigenous populations of nations all over the world are now starting to try and do this, the ramifications of which mean that the current illegal, in my opinion, system of domination that was set up by the British Empire through the East India Trading Company, essentially that real ruling system is now being challenged in many ways across many countries. And of course, the reasons are quite obvious. All the elections seem to be rigged. None of the people seem to be getting any benefit out of their government. And if you do get into government, hey, you get all your any good intentions that you had seem to get lobbied away. So is that that's my synopsis of the situation based on pure assumption, though. I mean, Henry, is that the case in Hawaii?
I guess there's a difference, okay, in Hawaii, and that is we were successful in actually getting recognized as a sovereign independent country, as a nation, and that occurred back in 1843. And what happened was England had overthrown our government and tried to take sovereign rule over our nation. And at the time, King Kamehameha III, he was able to reclaim his sovereignty by being recognized by, of all things, the United States government, Belgium, and France, who had assisted our delegates from Hawaii to go to England and demand that England return our sovereignty and recognize our nation. Whereas in other cases that I see the indigenous people, many of them had not established their national sovereignty. You know, they had a lot of them were, I guess you could say, not recognized, but yet still possess the right to claim their sovereign rights. And just, I believe, just this past year, that the United States government accepted the Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples. And that, I believe, will have a great impact throughout the world, especially in our case, where we're actually controlled by the United States government and not by the British government. It's hard to tell
the difference these days because they're both ruled by the same international banking cartel.
Yeah, I believe that nowadays what has happened is the, I think it was always a grand master plan, yeah, was to get capitalism to control the world, and of course both the British government and the United States government, apparently, you know, they're the ones that are great at designing these master ideas and plans, and of which, like I said, in our situation here in Hawaii, because we were a recognized nation, I find it that we'll be able to reclaim our status based on those past recognitions and, of course, our reinstatement of our government.
Okay, so let's talk about currently, okay, because something tells me that this movement has been boiling on the has been boiling the kettle for some time. Is it just now growing more powerful and taking control back of the Hawaiian Islands, and more to the point, of recent times, has there been any specific events that have triggered you guys into action, or have you been working along behind the scenes the whole time?
Here in Hawaii, because we were fortunate enough to have Kamehameha the Great unify all of our islands, basically what we had prior to that unification was separate chiefdoms. You know, each island had their own Ali'i Nui, or their king, you know, per island. And prior to the unification of Kamehameha the First, I think if we were conquered by another country prior to that unification, we would have been in a little different situation. I think something similar to what I've what I see down there in New Zealand. If you have you have all your different tribes, and by right, you know, they have their chiefly claims. Whereas here up north, we were fortunate that our Ali'i was able to unify all the islands and place us under one governing rule. And because of that, I believe that we will be able to fix the challenge that's preventing us from reclaiming our sovereign status. And that is, right now, there's just different points of view of how sovereignty should be acquired. And I think over the past years, we've been slowly resolving those differences. So what I see really occurring is we're going to eventually unite to that one lawful governing body.
Okay, well, in the terms of uniting people, I'd like you to jump in here, Gary or Sherry, if you will. I mean, trying to get to grips with the subject matter, I mean, if you could kind of break it down straightforward, how are you recruiting or helping people to get involved with this? Is there an education campaign going on? Because in my experience, when it comes to sovereignty movements, it's often a complex ball of history that you sort of need to unravel for people before they can understand the concept of reestablishing sovereignty in the first place. And how are you going about that in this day and age?
Gary, on the phone. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I can make a quick comment on that. And, it's a little interesting because we're just reestablishing something that was already there. And like Henry said earlier, 12 years ago, we officially reestablished that. Now, what we're doing today is just letting people know that we're here, basically. We're nothing new, and there's no controversy involved. We're just the lawful governing body. The U.S. is the unlawful governing body here. So we're in the process of basically negotiating steps to get our rights back. Right now we're working on the right to travel. So we're running our own license plates, our own driver's license, vehicle registration, and those sort of things. And we're getting, you know, mixed responses from the police on that. But basically we're just out there telling people that we're here. We're letting people who want to join us, join us. We're here for all the sovereign groups because there are a whole handful of groups. Henry might talk a little bit more about that. But there's at the time of the Apology Bill in 1993, a lot of groups kind of came out of the woodwork and just started to say, shoot, now it's time to get busy. And really the only group that's held up through the scrutiny of all that has been the lawful Hawaiian government. So now we're here telling people whatever you've done in the past toward putting your government together, we have the format right here. We have all the offices. We have all the places been held open for 12 years now. And this year, on November 5th, we're having an election, and anyone from any group of Hawaiians can come in and vote themselves into office. They could actually vote themselves into the prime minister position and put Henry out of business if they wanted to. I mean, that's how open we are to making this be for all Hawaiians. Even though this is something we set up, it's not our government. You know, it's the Hawaiians' government. So any Hawaiian with one drop of Hawaiian blood can vote in our election. You don't have to be a citizen of our government. You don't have to join us. You just need to sign up and register. Now, non-Hawaiians, people of non-Hawaiian blood like myself, if you want to vote, you have to show a level of commitment. And that level of commitment basically means that you're supporting the government. You come to meetings, you attend vigils, you pay some... Well, for myself, I've been paying the amount of money that I would normally pay to the United States. I've been paying to the lawful Hawaiian government for 12 years now. And that's kind of the way that, to me, it looks like I'm not trying to get away with not paying something. I'm just trying to put the money in the right pocket. And that's what I personally encourage everyone to do. But we're out there. We're making ourselves known. We're doing little vigils alongside the road at different beach areas, different functions that come up. And right now on this island, we have a kind of a traveling kava bar, and we get people to come up to the kava bar, have a cup of kava, and we talk to them about what's going on. And
if you get people a little bit wasted on kava and then try to convince them about your political persuasion, I'm sure the campaign's becoming quite successful. Now,
it certainly takes the edge off.
Oh yeah. After all, government is serious business. After all, like the way that it currently works is if you're an elected American president, they can unilaterally invade countries and kill a million people for no good reason and then lie to everybody about it and then get off scot-free and then write a memoirs. Hopefully, the new Hawaiian government might act somewhat differently. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the Hawaii 5-0 special, and we've got a lot of people on the call here, so we'll be right back after the break, and we'll get even further into the rabbit hole. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Join us in the chat room there, and if I haven't been replying, don't worry, you'll get it back eventually. Now, the guests that we have on today, in fact, we have a kind of a whole raft of guests. We have Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz, and we also have Henry, the current PM of Hawaii's sovereign government, and also his organizer, PR guy, Gary Hoffield. And one thing that we were kind of getting into after the break was, like, what would be the real difference in, say, the election process? And it's about having Hawaiian blood, you say?
Why don't you go with that, Henry?
Okay. What has happened is since 1999, the lawful Hawaiian government has conducted 3 elections. This coming year, what has happened is that in our legislative assembly, we were able to adopt a resolution that would qualify all of our Kanaka Maoli that would be able to participate in our Hawaiian government elections. And the obvious was, you know, they have an inherent right here in Hawaii. And the difference between that inherent right and others wanting to participate in our government process, because our former government had naturalized individuals as citizens into our country, we also naturalize citizens from foreign countries into ours. So if you are non-Kanaka Maoli, you're required to become a national in our country, and then you can participate in our elections. And this elections is for the legislature. Okay, and we have 24 members representing the House of Representatives and 24 members in the House of Nobles. And in the House of Representatives, nationals or naturalized citizens can participate in the election as an elector or candidate. And in the House of Nobles, that is reserved to Kanaka Maoli. And I don't know if you understand the geographical makeup of Hawaii. I mentioned it earlier, is that we have 8 major islands, okay, and each island is represented by X amount of legislators, X amount of nobles. So each island...
I'm sorry, I just want to jump in here. What power, after elected, do these people have? I mean, say, for example, if you're elected as a congressman, you get to vote on legislation and you get to pocket a heck of a lot of lobbyist money. What's the difference if you get elected to this Hawaiian government?
I think it's like, you know, most represented governments, right? You get elected to the government as a legislator, and your responsibility, obviously, is to pass laws. And in our reinstated government, what has happened is that in order for a law to pass, it actually has to be voted in by the general populace. Okay? I think... By making that change, we sort of put the responsibility back into the individuals.
So, okay, versus let me say this. The checks and balances on this particular government is the people themselves. They get given the responsibility.
That's correct.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult for a lobbyist to buy 500,000 kanakas as it would be buying 48. I think
normally they'd only have to bribe the legislature and then just pay lots of money for propaganda campaigns so that the rest of the public accept it. But is that possible here?
Like I said, in our construction of our laws, these are the things that we've been raised with. And we realize that's how America is getting destroyed. You know, people give their legislators power of attorney, and these people think that since you elected them, they don't have to listen to the populace or the majority, and they just vote on what they feel they want to vote on.
Well, they seem like they're basically devotees of Lenin. You know, it's just like, don't worry, comrade. As soon as we get elected, we'll do whatever we want.
You know? Well, that's what it comes down, Vince. So how do you solve something that we all know takes place? We're sort of setting a template, yeah, for the world to see that the change that should be made, I believe, is in something that America tried to get done back in the 1890s. You know, that was during the Granger period when they was trying to get direct democracy. So I think many of us, we were raised in their system, and we clearly understand how the system is manipulated. So we've come to the point where, you know what, it's time that we start doing solutions instead of keep trying to combat what is there.
Well, let's talk about combating what is there, and I'm sure Sherry and Len have a lot to say about this. I mean, let's just focus on Hawaii itself. What are the big major problems that require a different form of government to solve at this particular point in Hawaii? What are the big hot button issues? And we'll be having Michael Murphy from What in the World Are They Spraying on second hour to cover the chemtrail aspect of it, which I believe deserves some attention. But in terms of general Hawaiian life, what's going on and what really needs to change specifically?
I think what has happened over the years is that many of Hawaiian people, particularly those that are elders in this moment of time, they were very programmed, and it's very difficult to get elders to accept the fact that Hawaii shouldn't be governed by a foreign power. When you have a foreign power in a foreign nation, they don't have the same values that those people who are a part of that nation, you know, that Akua had granted them that right to Malama to take care of their country. And I believe that all of the problems stem from that one point, and that is when you have a foreign country governing in another country, they could care less about your culture, your values, your morals, and the end result, yeah, is conflict. Conflict between foreigners, conflict within its own culture, its own people. So why do we think that reinstating our former government would resolve these problems? I believe it's because what the military does in Hawaii, they do it even when we protest against it. You know, they're in on the Big Island. They're up there in beautiful Pohakuloa, beautiful country. And they're just using live munitions and some of it laced with radiation, you know? And I'm like, no matter how much we object and oppose this foreign government, we'll just continue as if nothing will ever stop them. So when I'm out there educating our general populace, obviously I try to reach to the Kanaka Maoli people first to make them realize that if you really want to control and the destiny of Hawaii, then there's no other way that that can be done by having a foreign power dictate what's supposed to happen in our country. And then when I speak to the non-Kanaka Maoli people, I try to explain to them that it's important for them to realize that the value of life can be achieved in Hawaii if you assist us in putting back our country, because we have different we have a different perspective on how we care for our lands. And you know, we malama means we are here to care for what we were given to take care of. And that's what I see when I go to different countries, that those that are occupied, the occupier or those that are occupied, have totally different concepts of what the value of land is. For a foreigner, they see the land in dollar signs. Develop the land, X amount of homes, 1,000 homes, times $300,000, man, they're in hog heaven. We look at the land as our life source. This is where we're going to be able to reclaim what maintains us as a people and the generations to follow us. So obviously, for us in Hawaii, it's important that every Kanaka Maoli understands what his role is. And I appreciate now that we've been in this battle. Yeah, I've been in it now close to almost 40 years. And over the 40 years period of time, what I've experienced is our Kanaka Maoli people are aware of what's happening in Hawaii. Now it's come down to making that hard choice. You know, do we or do we not cut the tie? And I believe it's not America that's preventing us from acquiring our sovereign rights, but rather it's in-house conflicts that I see amongst our own people.
Now, I was bringing on a different perspective here. Sherry and Len, what's your guys' take on this?
I think that Henry is absolutely right. We've witnessed it. We've saw some of the infighting, the disagreements that go on within the kingdom. People don't want to get on the same page and say, hey, you know, we're here for the same outcome, and I mean, he's so right on. It's just the only thing I believe that's really stopping.
And really, the issue is how we're all dumbed down and spiritually suppressed into hating our brothers and sisters instead of loving, and that's the fundamental opportunity that I see for the Kingdom of Hawaii, is to educate the people as to who they really are in aloha, in that ha spirit. You know, even the concept of calling the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants the Howleys. It's like a racial name. It's just a racial slur. It's a nigger. But when you really, really realize what it is that the Hawaiians are saying by that, you look at the culture. There's nothing more magnificent than the greeting that the Kanaka Moli have for one another. They literally look each other in the eye. They recognize that the windows to the soul are in the eye. And then they put their heads together, foreheads together, and their noses together, and they breathe together.
They breathe each other's breath. It's like the way that they greet each other. It's the most beautiful thing.
That's the most beautiful thing, I think, of any greeting anywhere in the world. And it reflects what the opportunity is for the Kingdom of Hawaii and the great people of that nation, is to spread the aloha spirit, to spread the concept of pono, of righteousness, of right standing in the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, honoring the aina, honoring the land, stewarding it, because it's a gift, like Henry said. So we completely support what Henry's doing. We honor the fact that he, above all of the candidates for the prime minister position, has advanced a plan, a definitive election plan, and that once that plan is set into motion, which it shall be at the beginning of November, where the electorate will come in, cast their votes, and then the world will know that they have an election ongoing in Hawaii, that at the outcome of that, the nation shall be recognized. It's not if, it's not and or but, it is shall. It's a done deal. And that I understand, maybe you could ask Henry, what other nations have already indicated that they would acknowledge the Kingdom of Hawaii in the United Nations or some other definitive international body that would recognize the sovereignty.
What say you, Henry?
Well, you know, I've had the good fortune of visiting other nations, sovereign nations, and a part of my purpose of being there was to, first of all, enlighten them as to what has happened in Hawaii and what is currently occurring. And because an election has become one of the most effective ways to acquire recognition, I've also shared that with some of the heads of state, that are you willing...
We'll have to get into this after the break. Unfortunately, my very special guest is Henry, the current Prime Minister of the Sovereign Hawaiian State. Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz also join me, as well as Gary Hoffield, the PR guy for the little sovereign state of Hawaii. And we'll be right back after this very short break. Some kind of way out of here. Oh, yeah. should this slave to the slave master. Speaking of slaves, I love being a slave. I get to do my little slave dance. Now, we have some very special guests, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Henry Noah, the Prime Minister of the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom. Gary Hofeld, who's one of his fabulous servants, of course, and the remarkable Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz. Now, we had I had two questions to clarify. The first part is, what exactly is the system of government that the Hawaiian reinstated kingdom is using? Is it a democracy, a republic, or whatever? And secondly, how exactly do you guys wish to propose that you can back up any legislation that you pass? I mean, do you have your own police force that are capable of overriding the current Hawaii 5-0?
To answer your first question, yes, we've actually reinstated a democratic form of government, and that was established from our ancestors. Okay, before it was an absolute monarchy, meaning that we had a king, and he was the law, and he decided what was to happen. Well, that changed in 1840, when Kamehameha III converted his absolute monarch powers and decided to accept a constitutional form of monarchy. And as that constitutional form advanced, obviously more democratic values was instilled into our government and our governing process. Well, the second question that you asked deals with sovereign powers, right? And I'll respond to it this way. Okay? When you're trying to reacquire sovereign rights in a country that's dominated by the most powerful country in the world, you actually have to use your intelligence, okay, and not your brawn to try to progress your sovereign powers. I think Gary mentioned it earlier when he stated that right now our government authority has authorized our nationals to traverse, to travel in our country with our authorized plates, our registrations, and we're getting ready to, in fact, we're not getting ready, we're actually executing more rights that belong to us just because we are the lawful government of Hawaii, and that the United States all these years have been basically occupying our country because our Kanaka Maoli people have yet to organize ourselves under a governance, a governing power that we can stand behind, and that power has now become that negotiator for us.
Well, there was
March 13, 1999, we've been able to accomplish that. Now, as we continue to grow, what happens is that I'm witnessing right now is that we're able to develop our government in the form that it needs to be there. Okay? Like I said, it's not going to happen overnight, especially when you have indifferences within your own population. But you have a responsibility, and that responsibility is real simple. If a government has to function, then you need to start filling those offices. You need to start putting those offices back in place, and you need to start functioning these offices. Now, like anything else, in an occupied territory, the occupier may not appreciate what you're doing, okay? And obviously, in some cases, will definitely oppose what you're doing. But this is one thing that we have learned, and that is, as much as people don't like to believe that law is something that was responsible for us crazy humans becoming civilized, we've been able to, benefit, okay, from the function of law. So as we continue building our national status, our nation, we've also been able to incorporate the value of utilizing law, be it international law, be it domestic law, be it the laws of our kingdom. And this has become our force, okay? I know that the quick, anybody trying to calculate how a people, an occupied people, can reclaim their country, how can that just happen? Well, again, it doesn't happen overnight. And there is potential in the process of governance that makes it happen. So, do we have an enforcement body? I can tell you it's called the police department. It's called the Department of Land and Natural Resource agents. They're all there. Okay? They're all there. But it's up to us now, our responsibility, to get those people in those offices to realize that it's our government that will be in power, and they will need to make those decisions themselves.
Well, I'm acting under the assumption that your government has a website of some description, a documentation of what people's rights are, things of that nature. What's the website here? I was just had somebody in the chat room asking.
Go ahead, Gary.
The website is lawfulhawaiiangovernment.net. Just spell that out, lawful, L-A-W-F-U-L, Hawaiian, H-A-W-A-I-I-A-N, government, G-O-V-E-R-N-M-E-N-T, .net, lawfulhawaiiangovernment.net.
Net, all right, lawfulhawaiiangovernment.net, that's good. Now, speaking of challenges, have you had any direct threats or any kind of dangerous situations arising out of the setup of this lawful Hawaiian government? Because it, in my experience, and the last time somebody tried to set up a lawful sovereign government here in New Zealand, it became known as the terror raids, where they put a town of 2,000 people under surveillance and spent millions of dollars basically tapping everybody, and then one day just broke into everybody's home simultaneously, pointed guns at the children's heads, things of that nature. I haven't heard of any such terrible things happening in Hawaii, but then again, I haven't been looking. Anything similar to that happen?
I tell you, I think it's the manner in which we have proceeded. Yeah. In the beginning, I remember when I used to do my educational classes, and there was a so-called sovereign commission that was developed by the United States government. And they used to come to my classes, and basically what I did was I started to educate the people on what law is and what rights that we possess as a people, to the point where I think it was almost about a year, they would come and try to intimidate our people. That was the most extensive that I saw them take any physical action against us, okay? Other than us trying to reclaim lands or properties that belong to us, yeah. Other than that, if we do an action of that nature, they certainly come. They'll come at us, okay, to try to stop any of those activities. But other than that, you know what? I think we've been very fortunate, and I believe it's because of how we've actually approached, yeah, the situation. And like I said, I think that if you know how law applies and you know how to utilize and have these laws a part of your process, it actually has worked to our benefit.
Okay. Now, lastly,
I'd like to share this with you, Vincent. Back in 2005, we actually initiated a land clean for the entire island of Kahoolawe. And the reason why that was executed is because the entire island of Kahoolawe belongs to our Hawaiian government. And even more importantly, what people may not realize throughout the world is that the lands in Hawaii have all been adjudicated through a court procedure. And that was done back in 1848. That was done by our great King Kamehameha III. Okay? When I say adjudicated, you got to remember now, all these lands in Hawaii were all identified through a system of governance that was incorporated during the ancient times. So I believe that perhaps our brothers down in New Zealand, they probably have a similar system of identifying their lands from the mountaintops down to the oceans. This system in Hawaii, we identify it as our water system. Yeah, and all it is these lands were well identified. So no matter what island you went to, every place you went, people knew exactly what that piece of property was named, who it belonged to, who was in control of it. So in 1848, our king had actually put it into writing, into documentation.
So okay, and we'll get into more of this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, my remarkably special guest, Mr. Henry Noah, the Prime Minister of the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom, Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz and Gary Hoffield. And coming up next segment, we'll also be adding in the chemtrail argument with Michael Murphy from What in the World Are They Spraying? Back in a moment, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. My very special guests joining us for this whole 2 hours, basically, is the fabulous Mr. Henry Noah, the Prime Minister of the reinstated island nation of Hawaii, Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz, and now joining us, and also Gary Hoffield, sorry mate, and now joining us we also have Michael Murphy from What in the World Are They Spraying? And we were just talking over the break, Michael, and Henry doesn't know anything about chemtrails as yet, no. So it's good that we can have you on to explain what's happening in Hawaii from your recent trips here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Vinny, and I really like the lighter side of genocide. You're cracking me up.
Well, you know, that's good. As long as I'm not fracking the planet, I'm cracking everybody up.
That's right.
Give us a bit of a breakdown about your most recent trip to Hawaii. I saw the video that you put out, and the organic farmers there are very, very freaked out. But just for Henry as well, and the listeners who may be unfamiliar with chemtrails at this point, first-time listeners, could you please just define what chemtrails are?
Sure. Chemtrails are actually geoengineering programs, and geoengineers are proposing spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our sky for what they say is the stated goal of cooling the planet. However, there appears to be many different agendas behind this aerosol spraying. And typically, what we see in most areas around the world is long white trails behind airplanes that do not dissipate, and they fall down and completely cover the sky. Real similar to what we see here in L.A. quite a bit. They start spraying usually in the morning, and about by 1 o'clock, our sun is completely blocked out by these aerosols, and people complain of burning eyes, irritability, dry mouth, nausea, and many other health concerns. It's different from a contrail. Contrail is short for condensation trail, when an airplane flies at a certain elevation where it's very cold, the engine from the heat actually produces condensation. So what you will see behind an airplane is a white trail, but it usually quickly dissipates. It's very similar to when we breathe in cold weather. You can see your breath, and then it quickly disappears. So the chemtrail phenomenon, which really escalated after about 1997, is seen in most countries, not every country yet, but again, geoengineers are proposing doing this over the entire planet. Aluminum oxide is very toxic to human health and ecology. And in What in the World Are They Spraying? We illustrated and proved that, yes, they are spraying almost every area around the world, and that these programs are a threat to human health and ecology. So we've seen profound changes since 1997 in both health and ecology around the world.
Okay, so let's talk about now specifically Hawaii, and you've just paid a recent visit to Hawaii. Can you tell the listeners what you found?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, geoengineering programs and aluminum oxide specifically has been found in thousands of times the normal amounts in rain and in snow samples. And what aluminum oxide will do, it will change the pH of rain and it will change the pH of soil. So and What in the World Are They Spraying? We went around, investigated this, spoke with credible scientists and people who have been concerned about this, and ecosystems are collapsing. Basic science tells us that plant life that requires an acidic soil will die off when that soil turns to alkaline, exactly what's happening around the world where these programs have been deployed. So part of our filming was in Hawaii about a year ago, and when they first called us to come out there and investigate, I didn't think that they were spraying. It wasn't until I got there that I noticed that there were a lot of aerosols in the sky. So when we went out there, nobody had performed rain tests or soil tests at that time, but the farmers that we spoke with were having difficulty getting the yields that they were getting just a couple of years ago. So anyways, we encourage people to start testing the rain and start testing the soil because of their crop losses out there, and got a couple people on board and even a couple public officials. The director of health of Maui started doing tests. He took, I believe it was over 30 rain tests that revealed contamination of aluminum, barium, strontium from these programs, and really made it public. So I just got back from Hawaii, and we were there again about a year ago, and there was some aerosol in the sky. I've been back twice. I was back around Christmas time where I saw a very noticeable change. There were many more aerosols in the sky, and it's probably doubled just in the past 4 months. The sky was completely covered, and there have been profound changes. So every farmer that I've had interviewed has had declines in their yield. They've only been getting about 20 to 40% of what they were getting just a couple of years ago. The concern is this. We know conclusively that aluminum oxide is being sprayed, matches geoengineers' plans exactly, and there are numerous patents for spraying devices to spray aluminum oxide. And the concern is this. Now, a lot of people live independently off the grid in Hawaii. The concern is that they will not be able to grow their organic food. And we know, again, that soils are being toxified. There's a new aluminum-resistant GMO seed. So a lot of people think that this could be, in part, there are many different agendas, I believe, behind the spraying, but in part an agenda to destroy anything that's natural and organic so that farmers become completely dependent on these newly aluminum-resistant seeds.
Well, we're talking about a total control of the world's food supply, and it's Monsanto that produces these aluminum-resistant seeds. And have you looked into it any further? I mean, has Monsanto by chance in any way been funding these geoengineering campaigns or conferences? Is there any link there that you can point to?
Well, there appears to be a link, but it wasn't a strong enough link to put it in the film. Bill Gates is a funder in geoengineering programs. That's a matter of public record, and he's also funds Monsanto. So it's a distant link, but we really think, again, that this might be an overall agenda. What actually Monsanto is not producing the aluminum-resistant seeds yet. It's the patent is owned by the USDA and the Brazilian government, so we're really waiting to see what we're going to do with this. But, you know, it's deeply concerning because we know that certain corporations, certain individuals do want to control the food supply. Henry Kissinger said back in the 70s, if you want to control the countries, control the oil. If you want to control people, control the food. So we see that conclusively with the GMO seeds, and we think that the spraying is definitely part of it.
Well, and obviously this is being done without the awareness of the public, and it's being done all over the world. It's not isolated to specific countries. In fact, it's mostly NATO signatory countries, but we also have chemtrails down here in the South Pacific, in New Zealand and Australia, quite a fair amount. So it's a global agenda. And back on the Monsanto thing, haven't they just bought Blackwater, and hasn't Bill Gates just invested a huge amount of money to buy tons of Monsanto shares? So we have one of the most evil food control-minded corporations in the world doing business with one of the worst, reputation-wise, private killing companies in the world. That is now being invested in and bought into by Bill Gates, one of the worst, communications control companies in the world, who does lots of dodgy things that really tick everybody off. So it's like a multi-headed transformer, Hydra, etc., banding together to screw us all, basically. Or at least that's how I see it.
Well, that's what they're doing, and they're consolidating power, and it's not only through the food supply, it's also through weather control. And I've spoken to a number of meteorologists who believe that the aerosol spraying is primarily weather control. So it's real similar. Weather control is really similar to the GMO seed market, because what we have is corporations and individuals who want to corporatize natural systems. So they want to control the weather. And when I first heard about it, I said, why would somebody want to control the weather? But if you think about it, weather is a very effective warfare weapon. It can be used to bring other countries down to their knees. So if there's, let's say, a country in Africa who does not want to give up their mineral rights or their sovereignty to this New World Order globalist agenda, well, he who controls the weather can send the droughts over there and literally bring that country down to their knees. So what you have is a complete consolidation of power. It's this corporate governmental conglomerate, I call it the beast, that really wants to change what was at one time natural and organic, and people could live under the authority of nature, and now they're usurping that authority and bringing it under this corporate umbrella. So it's deeply concerning to us. What was exciting, though, Vinny, during Hawaii, we were at Earth Day, and we got to speak to thousands of people on Maui, and they were really spraying heavy that day. And public interest was incredible, and there was a demand for a community meeting. So in about 3 days, we put together a symposium, and we had public officials and physicians come to the meeting. And it birthed what is, I believe, called the Blue Sky Ordinance. And the Blue Sky Ordinance is in the process of being written and designed, and it is an ordinance that will ban chemtrail geoengineering programs above Maui. So I have a video that I made, and that can be seen on my website, which is truthmediaproductions.us, and you can see the film on there. But it's very uplifting. I'm not naive enough to think that the people that are spraying are going to stop spraying over Maui. However, I do think it's a very strong political move, and I think that it will help awaken other people and motivate people to get active.
Okay, so we also have Henry Noah here, the Prime Minister of the reinstated sovereign country of Hawaii. And just based upon what you've heard from Michael here right now, Henry, what are your thoughts on this?
While he was speaking, I was Mike, where are these aircraft originating from? If they're spraying here in our island?
Well, we don't know where they're originating from. We think many different places. One of the companies that is believed to be involved is Evergreen Air, which used to be Air America. It's a CIA company. They, on their website, boast about the ability to take their tanker airplanes and take them out of any airport or any large airport. I believe it's with the 10,000 feet of a runway. So we believe many different places, but really the proof is in the toxicity, the proof is in the air test, and the proof is in the rain. And we know conclusively from the test that Hawaii is experiencing contamination.
You also mentioned that you can actually identify this thing. What does it look like? I mean, what does the skies look like? How can you tell there's aerosol in the skies?
Yeah, if you study time-lapse photography, and that's a really good question, I would suggest going to YouTube and putting in chemtrail time-lapse. You will mm-hmm. see the trails being sprayed, and then you will see what they look like when they fall down and dissipate. They look like a wispy cotton candy kind of look. So it's and you can also see it on my video, which, again, is on truthmediaproductions.us. We did a lot of filming of the aerosols in the sky. So it's once you learn, it's pretty easy to identify. There's also some ways that you can identify it on satellite as well, and some people in Hawaii have been doing that.
Okay. And Lynn and Sherry, you've been living in Hawaii for some time now, and you've indeed actually noticed the changes in the air, even in the short time that you've been there. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Yeah, I've noticed it significantly. What Michael's saying is true. There is this spraying that goes on, and you watch it. It comes out of the fuselages, and then across the sky is white trail that doesn't disappear like a normal contrail. It's a chemtrail. It starts to spread, and within a few hours, it creates an obscuring of the sky, a gray film over the sun. And in fact, you can see it a lot at night when there's a lot of chemicals in the sky. And you see, particularly around full moons, you see colorful rainbows around the moon. And this is an indicator that there's refraction of the chemicals in the atmosphere that you're actually seeing. A lot of people are breathing and having difficulty breathing, and it is dropping out. What goes up must come down. The aluminum toxicity is heavy. I think one of the overlooked issues is Alzheimer's disease and neurological toxicity that is already being obscured by a conspiracy at the CDC to kind of like confuse Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, Alzheimer's, and the aluminum toxicity. So we've got aluminum being sprayed. It's in a lot of our products. It's now in the soils a lot, and it's causing more neurological damage in people. I have as I mentioned on the break, the last break, the book Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare is a book that has a chapter devoted to the chemtrails, and it includes in it the Hughes patent for which Michael was talking about, why it is that they're allegedly spraying is to attenuate global warming. But that's a lot of bunk. The reality is that, you know, the whole environmental ozone depletion, all of that global warming would literally cease if it was if we were able to use the free energy technologies that have been suppressed, the Tesla technologies. And that's some of the work that we're advancing with the book of 528, the whole understanding of how the Creator works to create and how the energy systems of the universe are spiraling, spinning. There's a ton of energy in the universe, and if we can simply allow ourselves to tap into it, which the Rockefeller-directed energy cartel doesn't wish us to have, because that's how they've been controlling humanity, primarily through the utilities. And so this is it's like very appropriate for the King of Hawaii and the movement, and for Henry Noah to find out about this on this program, because the whole sovereignty movement in Hawaii, I feel
we'll be right back, folks, after the break.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
So many people out there getting enslaved by the dumbing down, the chemical spraying, and the fabulous corrupt government. A government that's so corrupt that people have forgotten how corrupt they are. Because they're so corrupt, they spray stuff on you to give you Alzheimer's to make you forget how corrupt they are. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide. Joined by my remarkably special guest, Michael Murphy, from California, where Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz also join us. And across the water, the contaminated radioactive water, we also have Henry Now and Gary Hoffield from the sovereign reinstated government of Hawaii. Now, one thing we wanted to get into here was about information itself. Because of the fact that chemtrails are happening everywhere, it then becomes a single issue that everybody in every state and at every point, basically, should be able to get their head around and should be raising awareness about. And, before the break, we got kind of cut off a little bit. Len, you were explaining something. I forget entirely. But
that's okay. It's the aluminum in your brain, Vinny, you know?
Yeah, well, we just had a chemtrail out there, and in fact, somebody remarked yesterday, Vinny, I think you're having early onset Alzheimer's, and I didn't remember that until just now. So it must be true.
Yeah, well, it is. I guess this is the lighter side of genocide, and if you think about it, what it is it's happening. You mentioned it. Let me give you a little bit of more academic spin on it. It's called the Russian biological cocktail method of conducting non-lethal warfare, and that's a misnomer. It's actually lethal, but it kills slowly. It's like Sherry said, it basically, when you start to breathe this stuff and you're now getting it into the food chain, it starts to weaken your immune system. And the combination of first the chemical assault, so it's virtual chemical warfare against we the people, followed by immune suppression, and then exposures to biological weapons that are coming out of the labs. The H1N1 swine flu, that was an example. The H5N1 that they're suggesting strongly is going to be recombining and potentially getting us, if not something else that's biological, is the combination of chemical followed by biological warfare that is exactly what the Bill Gateses of the world and Henry Kissinger's want to reduce the population most profitably, because it kills slowly. You look at AIDS, for example, another man-made creation, that it's very enslaving. Over the years, you spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for the drug companies to maintain your life. And similarly, this whole chemtrail and intoxication issue and environmental degradation that goes with it, look at how much money is being spent increasingly on cleaning up the environmental catastrophes. So this is all planned. Make no mistake about it. All of this was detailed in both the report from Iron Mountain and other think tank reports. The Battelle Memorial Institute gave us all sorts of understanding about how to control weather, how to control the environment, how most effectively and expensively or profitably, if you're the companies, you can administer to this New World Order agenda that sickens and enslaves people and violates the land. So it's my hope and my prayer that Henry will be very successful with everyone in the great sovereign kingdom of Hawaii to reinstate something that makes far more sense and is far more pono, just, righteous in administering our stewardship over this planet and bringing all of us together in the spirit of aloha, in the spirit of oneness and love and harmony. That is, I think, our only way out of the mess that we're in.
And what do you think, Sherry?
I wanted to say hello to Michael. I know you and I had met each other back during the December break. I think we were interviewed together on a beach, and we looked up in the sky and we saw the chemtrails. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. How you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to actually, just be able to still tell the world what's going on, and I'm still here to tell it. So I'm thankful for that. I wanted to also go back to the point about Monsanto and about how they are trying to poison our foods because they, I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, they have partnered with Whole Foods, which is a one of the major health food stores in the U.S. that really is the one that promotes organic foods to everyone, more on a mainstream level because they have large stores and they're in more places. And so they have partnered with Monsanto, and I believe that's how Monsanto is getting its claws into all of our organic food by making sure that they control what Whole Foods gets organically.
Very sneaky, aren't they?
Completely sneaky. It's one of the major tricks that these people have is the ability to be very sneaky in everything that they do. But it is in plain sight. They don't hide it. It's just sneaky because we don't really look there. We never look what's in front of us. We just don't look at what's, there. We just kind of think it's going to be more hidden, and it is. It's right there. So, but yeah, the chemtrail issue is major. I don't know if you've been back to Hawaii since December, but since the Japanese disaster, it's gotten much worse. Some days the skies, you can't see any blue at all. They're more gray. And I remember leaving the airport going from, I believe it was Oahu to the Big Island and looking up in the sky, and Len was there, and we just said, we can't believe that this is the sky in Hawaii. Like, what happened to the sky? And so it did come back when it was very windy. The sky started to look normal again. But when it's not a windy day and you look up into the sky, it's just a really dismal gray. And it's not even raining. It's just gray. So that's really sad. It's really sad what they're doing to our water, what they're doing to our skies, and just what they're doing to us, humanity. And I'm glad that, people like Vinny, people like you, and people like Henry that can make a difference in the world, and Len, are out there that can make, to inform people really what's going on, because we really need to. I mean, so many people are unaware of what's going on with the Kingdom of Hawaii, what's going on with chemtrails, what's going on with our food supply, and bringing this awareness and making sure it gets out there every day. I know this is going to go up on YouTube. Aside for who's listening on here, we need, more people to hear the messages on here. It's a great program today. So thank you, Vinny, for putting us together.
Well, it's got to be done, and I may not know a huge amount about specific details when it comes to chemtrails or sovereignty or anything along those lines, and in my opinion, I don't need to. I just need to know the people that do and bring them together. That's basically what really needs to be done in this day and age, is you need the intelligent and powerful people of this world to be working together against their common enemy, against their common threat, because after all, if we are fighting amongst ourselves, then our enemy will only grow in power and dominance, and then sooner or later, we won't even have the ability to fight amongst ourselves because we'll all be exterminated, Or at least that's the extreme that I choose to take it to. And, I kind of look on the lighter side of genocide, as I say, and, it's more like the fact that, hey, resisting against tyranny, resisting against the New World Order is actually a heck of a lot of fun. It makes you feel good. It's like a drug. you know? And sometimes, you know, I want to go outside and snort chemtrails out of the sky, you know, to get me that nice, fabulous aluminum high. but other than that, you know, it doesn't seem to be working out too well for anybody, the whole aspect of it. And in terms of testing the soil pH, and you're saying that now something like all of the organic farmers that you've interviewed have had real low crop yields. I mean, it's getting incredibly serious, so it means that we need to be moving a lot faster than we have been. It's like the water circling the plug hole. It gets faster and faster and faster as it gets to the center.
Well, you're absolutely correct, but you know, that's why it's so important to get the message out about chemtrail geoengineering programs. And, you know, a number of years went by when I noticed that when I lived in Arizona, the skies were changing, but I didn't know why. It wasn't until somebody actually pointed it out. And when we were in Hawaii, it was a great opportunity because the skies have changed so much. But usually it takes someone to point it out to somebody else and let them know. And once people begin to notice this, they get concerned and they start taking action. So, you know, it's real important. I really want to stress not getting into a fear mode about this, but getting into a faith mode and standing up for your right to breathe clean air, for your right to eat organic food, for your right to live life. And since we released When the World Outlays Spraying, there's literally been a worldwide movement that started with people standing up and saying no to this. So we've definitely seen profound changes in ecology and human health, but we've also seen so many people finally standing up, and I really have hope. And I think what's happening on Maui, you know, can happen everywhere. If people just tune into what's going on, recognize that we as human beings have power and authority to stand up against this and say no to it. And that's exactly what's happening. So I really have a lot of faith and I have a lot of hope. And I've just seen some incredible things happening. These are deep, dark things, but there's so much light and so many people finally standing up.
Yeah. And Gary, you've been kind of quiet here. I mean, are you at all familiar with the chemtrail issue yourself?
Actually, yeah, I've been following it for quite a while now. And we just, well, Michael was just here. We just saw him at UH just, 3 weeks ago, I think. And we've been spreading his video around to lots of people that didn't know anything about it. We've got such beautiful air and sky in Hawaii, and the volcano has been kind of graying it down a little bit over the last year or so. So maybe some of the stuff that we were blaming on bog, you know, from the volcano is actually chemtrails, is what I'm starting to think. Do you have any comment on that?
Everyone's in a lot of asking.
Michael, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I definitely think, and again, the proof is in the test, and it cannot be refuted. It was very interesting, and again, I made a video of Hawaii Revisited, and after Earth Day, which they sprayed us so heavy, that night it rained, and somebody had tested the pH of the rain the next morning, and the first test came out to be, you're holding on to your seat, 100 times the normal alkalinity of what the rain should be, and then a second test showed 20 times the normal alkalinity, I believe it was 6.7 pH. So this is a considerable rise in alkalinity. We're waiting for that test to get back to see what the aluminum content was. My guess is going to be through the roof. However, it rained the next day and the day after, and the pH of the rain came back down. So that indicates that there, without a doubt, is something happening in our range. And again, the contamination has been found in over 30 tests on Maui. And this is not limited to Maui. People have been performing tests around the world. And again, where the trails are seen, they're seeing high aluminum, barium, and strontium. So I think what many people did think was bog are now waking up and realizing that these are, in fact, aerosols from chemtrail geoengineering programs. And they're very high in the sky. And if you study satellite, again, there are a few people, the Maui Earth Day organized, Bruce Douglas, who actually study satellite, and you can actually see the aerosols where they spray. They usually spray a couple hundred miles out over Hawaii, and then they come in. They look like high cirrus clouds. But it was when I was there, They were actually trained directly over Maui, so we got a lot of pictures of that as well. And it was, you know, you hate to see them spray, but if you're doing activism, it's a good opportunity to point it out to people and help people notice what it is.
You know, I felt that when the Japanese disaster occurred and they started saying that there was going to be a radiation cloud that was going to be coming over California and Hawaii, my first thoughts of that was that they were going to use that as an excuse to drop more things on us, worse things than ever. And then people, if they would start getting sick, they could blame it on the fact that there was a radiation cloud rather than it being just more chemtrails that they're adding on top of us. So that was my thought about one of the things that happened with that. It was definitely another agenda going on with the disaster.
Well, interestingly enough, there was a YouTube video that came out, and a guy broke down what the radiation cloud from Japan would in fact turn into after a short period of time after it comes on the land. And it turns into barium and strontium. And it's just like, well, hold on a second. That's chemtrail signature right there. And so a thought occurred to me, as just as it had to you, Sherry, that perhaps they might be happy with the fact that everybody's really contaminated at the moment, and the massive cloud of radiation from Japan has conveniently covered up all the copious quantities of poisoning that they've done already. But that's just a theory on my part. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide, final segment after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere,
oh, yeah.
Man.
Crossed the chemtrail theme song. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I've been everywhere, man, spraying aluminum and barium there, man. Okay. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Apocalypse Day. That's right. It's May 21st already in New Zealand, and I can confirm that the apocalypse is currently going on, and it is the zombie apocalypse. My very special guests, Michael Murphy from What in the World Are They Spraying, Sherry Kane, and Len Horowitz from SherryKane.com and the 528 Love Revolution. And, of course, from the sovereign reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom, Gary Hoffield and Henry Noah. Now, we'll have a big old panel discussion, and what we wanted to do here is Sherry and Michael and all of that, you know, you're all familiar with each other, and there's a bit of a final segment rush here, so we just kind of want to get everybody's contact details out so the listeners can come and have a look at more of your work and join up and help you out if they can. So Henry and Gary, we'll shoot off with you guys first. What's your website there so people can follow the Sovereign Kingdom?
Well, the HawaiianGovernment.net. We also have another site, Hawaii-Gov.net. And with those sites, you can follow links to other sites also.
Okay.
But it's also a good idea just to do a Google search about the lawful Hawaiian government every once in a while, because new things are coming up all the time. So if you just do a search on a regular basis, you're going to pick up all the new stuff that's happening. We have a couple chat groups and stuff that we're just now starting to set up for people to comment on. In fact, look for us on Facebook and put a friend, you know, LHG, Lawful Hawaiian Government, on Facebook. And from that, we'll respond to you and continue to get information stuff out for you as things come on. But we're really just kind of getting into the whole Facebook thing right now, so we're, you know, a little bit slow getting our feet in the water started on this one.
Okay. And moving on to Michael Murphy, you've got some websites there, don't you?
I do, yes. You can actually see clips of What the World Are They Spraying, and also my latest Hawaii video on truthmediaproductions.us. And I also started a coalition with G. Edward Griffin, and it's the Coalition Against Geoengineering.org. So you can find information about this issue. And everybody from Hawaii, please look into this. And from everywhere, it's affecting the air that we breathe. It's affecting human health and plant life. So it's very important. I believe it's the most dire issue that we will have to face as human beings in the history of the planet. So very important. Again, truthmediaproductions.us. And Coalition Against Geoengineering.org.
And Sherry and Lynn, fire out your websites too.
Oh, well, my website is sherrykane.com. That's spelled S-H-E-R-R-I-K-A-N, Kane in Hawaiian, .com. Len's website is drlenhorowitz.com.
Thank you. You did that good.
And we have several others. We have.
You know, I would recommend everybody go to 528records.com and be delighted to the fact that you can transpose music now to the aloha frequency of 528, the love frequency of the entire botanical world is celebrating in greenish yellow. That's that warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. When you play and listen to music in that frequency, it's healing besides enjoyable. So you can go to 528records.com and start playing. And you know, I think what we've got to do is have, before the election in Hawaii in November, that I encourage everybody to investigate and see if we can get together and vote in this election together, that we have a concert, maybe an Aloha 528 Revolution concert, to go in hand in hand with the emergence of the sovereign kingdom of Hawaii.
I think that'd be really great for promotions as well, to bring people and music together and then have the whole education on the kingdom going on as well. Another website you can go to if you want to hear more about 528 is love528.com, and Len's new book is thebookof528.com. And the other website, if you want to partner with us, is healthyworldaffiliates.com. And do you have another website you want to tell everybody about, Len?
But for goodness sake.
Musicians. I keep going for 2 hours, Vinny. You
we
know?
Got 100.
Yeah, I know.
It's the academic side of genocide, you know?
So, oh, yeah.
The musicians can educate themselves at love528.com. Mm-hmm. For all the musicians out there, love528.com.
Now, speaking of future, tomorrow is May 21st in the United States, and as the billboards are all saying that the Bible has confirmed that, yes, it's the end of the world. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be going off on radio, and I'm going to be seeing my producer and his lovely family and enjoying my last day on Earth. And I'll also be getting my ammunition and everything stocked down. I need a 357 Magnum for the headshots for the coming zombie apocalypse. And just wondering what you guys have got planned for your zombie apocalypse. Henry, how's it planning over there in the middle of the Pacific?
I heard so many predictions from all you hollies. We still here, brother. So you guys got predictions. When can you guys predict the United States going to leave Hawaii? That would be a great prediction.
Yeah,
right.
Let's predict it's going to be in November.
Yeah, definitely. Let's predict that. Let's see. And, you know, but if you looked at the latest news, you'll see that George Soros unloaded all of his gold. So something's definitely happening with the economy. We can probably predict that the paper bill may no longer be in existence in 2000. Maybe that's the end of the world.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Here's the news. Yeah, George Soros cashed in all of his gold to buy a spaceship so he can leave Earth, so he doesn't have to be depopulated with everybody else.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great. George Soros will just be like out there in space, you know, the fabulous revolving space station. And goodness knows if the cancer that he provides for this wonderful planet will grow in space. And also, and hey, also we ha- go ahead, Henry.
Hey, Lenny.
Yeah.
Is it true that somehow, somewhere, they're going to devalue gold?
That's what the we're thinking.
Well, that's the latest. That's the latest link I saw on the news yesterday through the internet. Came in through major news. The Associated Press said that George Soros sold all his gold.
You know, Henry, I think you agree with me that the greatest investment that one can have is in the love for the land.
Yep. It ain't nothing greater.
That's right.
You know, you take care of it, it takes care of you. You don't need no gold.
That's right.
The love of the Aina.
That's right.
Oh, the love of the ionizing radiation. The love of the ionizing radiation. That's right. And Michael, you've been pretty quiet there. What are you planning for the zombie apocalypse?
Well,
barbecue?
I'm going to wake up extra early and probably go out and hand out some DVDs and wake people up to the chemtrails to engineering issue. I know I only have a few more hours, so I'm going to get real aggressive and try and fill my calling before the end of tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. You might have to do a quick re-edit of it and, you know, change the tone of the film to what in the world are they predicting this time?
We'll be working all night for that one, Vinny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you'll get the Apocalypse Academy Award for best original death play. And I think maybe there'll be some special effects. Maybe Project Bluebeam is going to be called into account, and we'll have a false alien invasion for this fabulous apocalypse. You know, that'd be nice.
Over to Carolina.
And what's Michael, on a documentary for the Kingdom of Hawaii, so if you're interested in working on that with us, I know it's a little off topic from the chemtrails, but it's also very, very important for the world. And so if you're interested in helping us with that, definitely get in contact with me and we can figure something out.
Yeah, Sherry, I'll look you up and send you out an email, because I am planning on returning to the islands. A lot of exciting things are happening with activists, so. And I'm also in contact with Mike Dominguez of We Are Change, and he's educated me a lot about Hawaiian sovereignty, and I think it's an important issue. So I'm supportive, absolutely.
Great.
All right. Well, we're basically wrapping up the show now. Final words, Henry, they're yours. Go for your life. Or was that Len talking?
I want to say mahalo. Yeah, you giving me this opportunity to share our process here in reclaiming our country. And it was great talking with you guys.
Other than that, aloha.
Okay. Hey,
aloha.
Mahalo and aloha.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. In fact, Michael, I guess some friends of mine brought you.
Give Lenny them my personal phone number.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us here today. It's been one extra special, nice, wee, familiar, ironically enough, conversation between us all here. And I'm sure everyone, basically, like me, doesn't ever stop working, doesn't ever stop fighting, and certainly can't be defeated when it comes to whatever we're doing. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining me and bringing your inspiration, your knowledge, your joy, your justice, and your love to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and helping us to, you know, liven up the lighter side of genocide. We'll see you again next week, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your attention.